Today on Real Life Radio.
To fall down before the Lord is your confidence. To fall down before the Lord is your protection. To fall down before Him is your boldness. You cannot fall down before God and not have boldness. When you fall down before Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth, He protects His kids. It's what He does.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Theology and Me, Part 3. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives? Unlike the animal kingdom, we have the unique ability to determine our likes and dislikes. We also have the capability to know the difference between good and evil. God put inside each and every one of us an internal moral compass where we can choose to follow it or we can ignore it. To know the kind of God He is and what comes to mind when we think about God determines how we want to live. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we cannot escape from God. He's always there. Whether you turn right or turn left or hide in a dark corner, God is, you ready for this? All directional. For the Christian, that's good news, knowing that we can trust Him in whatever place or situation we find ourselves. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
One guy will say, I think it's okay. I had somebody literally tell me, I think it's okay for me to be married, but to look at other women as long as I don't touch. Now, maybe his wife says, I don't care what you do as long as you don't touch. Well, that's pretty sad, but you know what? That's their choice. Now, you move that over here, and that goes from an inconvenient or an agreed upon strange relationship to a direct violation of God's will. Are you with me? A sin. Why is the camp divided? At least start there. That's an interesting truth, is it not? The argument, the camps are divided. This one says God put it in us instinctively to know right and wrong. We have shame. When the kid lies and gets caught, then he's got shame. That's a fact. Where does that come from? The other group will say, well, you know what? We can do this, this, not that, not the other. By the way, there's so many double standards, triple, quadruple standards going on right now in our world and our government right now, and watching what things are going on with this investigation that's taking place in China and money and drugs and prostitution, FBI investigation, computer, kiddie porn, all this stuff that's now out there, and no one's reporting on it. Only print media is reporting on it. Big cover up. And it dawned on me, wait a minute. I was being sarcastic to myself. We need to just calm down. That team never once declared that any of that's wrong. Think of it. You might say today, God's true and my conscience is convicted by sin. You might say, if you're on the other side, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If it feels good, do it. Have you ever heard that before? It's called humanism, existentialism. It's the survival of the fittest mentality. Man loves to remove God from that way of thinking and say there is no good or evil. If you go to a college campus, ask people, hey, I'm curious, do you think there's good and evil? You'll see people go, let me think about it. Depends. I'm serious. You're talking to somebody who has no moral compass of conviction, but what they have is a silly, messed up compass. It just kind of goes around based on feeling because they have what's called situational ethics. That's terrible. You should never do that. But they do it. It's okay if they do it. Aesop's Fables. You ever heard of him? Aesop's Fables. There's the one fable where Aesop writes, and the one man is walking along. This is great, I think. The guy's walking along, and he's got a big, big bag in front of him and a big, big bag on the back of him. And a friend walks up and says, "Brother, you walk along carrying these two big bags. What's in these bags?" And he says, "What's in this bag? The bag in front of me is all the faults of people I know. It's all the faults of the people I know. That's the bag in front of me. And I hold it right here." And he said, "Then what's in the big bag behind you?" And he goes, "Oh, that's all my faults. I can't see those." If you can't see them, then they must not exist. People turn a blind eye. And Paul says in Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3, you point and you say, "No, this is not right. That's not right. That's not right." And he said, then you turn right around and you do the same thing. We know right and wrong. Where does it come from? The Bible says it comes from God. Adam and Eve sinned, and the first thing they did was they hid themselves from God. They knew what was wrong. And then fourthly, how do we know this good and evil and right and wrong argument? How do we know that? And what do we do about it? Every single day of our lives, we make a choice. Regarding theology and me, this is not for some seminary course. This is for Christian discipleship. Every single day, you and I will make a decision regarding things that hit us constantly. Just think about you today. Just you today in your life. How many things came into your life today where you had to choose the right thing from the wrong thing? Did you think about that? Think about that. The good thing from the bad thing. I don't think we could enumerate them all. If you pause for a moment, that's why we need the Word of God so much in our lives. Amen. And then I'm trying to hurry on this one. Finally, it's this. What can be done about me? Regarding theology and me, the study of God and my life? So what's the outcome? What's the big idea to this whole thing? Because Sam Harris will tell you that man, in his need to fill a void, created God. Which is interesting. Of course, I expect that to come from the atheistic camp. That's actually not a bad, it's not a bad argument. But I would say, or I would ask, where'd the void come from? Excuse me? You are accusing us of inventing a God to fill a void. Yes, that's correct. Why do we have a void? And why is it universal throughout all of humanity as far back as we can go? It's because of what we talked about in the beginning. The Spirit died on the day that Adam and Eve sinned. And through that, Adam and Eve flowed or was committed the S-I-N, positive DNA of the human being. That's why Jesus Christ came. To heal us. Notice, God doesn't heal us of sin. Isn't that good news? Have you noticed that? He doesn't heal us. He heals us of cancer, or he heals us of fill in the blank. He never heals us of sin. What does he do? He cleanses us from sin. For example, you've never heard somebody healed of leprosy in the scriptures. He cleanses them of leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin, a symbol. Cleansing. How does God cleanse things? How does God wash things? How does God do his dishes, so to speak? Blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so here we go. Grab your Bibles and quickly turn to Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10. I'm going to ask you if you would just commit this to memory. Psalm 9, verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. This is a scripture verse for memorization for all of us. This is key. Everybody, don't leave yet. You must get this. Watch, the word know. A familiar word to you in this church. The word know, and those who know. The word know is that Hebrew word yada. Let me read it to you. And you're going to want to make note of this. Yada. To know by awareness, by encountering, by becoming familiar with, to know by discovery, to know by steps taken, to know by metric, meter, or mile, step by step in every moment of every day, of every awareness, by journey, by walking, yada. And those who know and those who walk with you and discover you in every situation of their lives, moment by moment, step by step, meter, metric, mile. In other words, I can't breathe without this verse being true. Me in my life, you right now, whatever you're going through, flat tire, house on fire, or grand promotion, doesn't matter. To those who discover God in the moment by moment existence of life. Oh my goodness. Your name, directional or omni, omni meaning in every direction, authority. Amen. It means, listen, his attributes. Here's the word I used earlier, the kind of God he is. The kind of God he is. It means character. It means his unlimited attributes. To those who know what kind of God he is, this verse is true. Leave this on the screen. This is worthy of our imprint. To those who discover in every situation of their life his omnidirectional authority, meaning there's no place I can go in life where God's authority does not apply. It's in everything. If you know what kind of God he is, listen, everybody, it's like this. God, Lord, I'm walking down this road. I know you know all about it. You knew I was going to walk down this road before I started walking down this road. I just want to make sure that I'm walking with you. And I bow to your authority on the direction I'm taking. Oh, by the way, if I make a left turn up there, I'm going to trust that you're with me too. I'm yours, you're mine. Let's keep talking. Let's keep walking, God. Because I know what kind of God you are. You're not some capricious, whimsical, temperamental God. You're the God of the Bible, the God that I've read about, the God that is all patient and all kind and all loving and all forgiving and all directional. You know this is true, church, because David said, "Whither shall I go from thy presence? Where shall I flee from you? But behold, wherever I go, thou art there." That's exactly what this means. You can't escape. He's there. And instead of being threatened by that, the Christian says, this is awesome. This is exactly what I need to hear. You want to know why? I'm telling you the truth right here, right now. In fact, this verse came to my mind. I had this study done, and then a lot of dynamics came later in the afternoon, and this thought came into my mind. I didn't put it down, but because of this verse, leave it up there, Psalm 9, verse 10. Because that's true in my life and for the life of this church, when the Secretary of State in California threatens us, the Bible says that the righteous can be as bold as a lion. Amen. You know why? We're good. Come on. Think it. Yeah, let's have this hit the headlines. So how can you say that? I had a pastor tell me years ago, you know what? You guys are saying this stuff and doing this stuff about definition of marriage. Remember that back Prop 8 thing? And he said, man, you know, I'd back down from that because you need an IRS investigation. And I was shocked. And I said, who cares about an IRS investigation? Why would you care? Unless, if you've got numbers goofed up and things are not right and weird numbers and thin books and stuff, well, then you ought to worry. Then go sit in the corner and suck your thumb. But if you're clean, listen, if you're clean, no wonder why the Bible says the righteous can be as bold as a lion. Why? Because then God will be your defense. God will be your protector. Watch this. The word trust here, look it up. Batash means boldness, carefree, confidence. It also means to have fallen down. You say, what? Isn't that a contradiction? No, to have fallen down before L-O-R-D. To fall down before the Lord is your confidence. To fall down before the Lord is your protection. To fall down before Him is your boldness. You cannot fall down before God and not have boldness. When you fall down before Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth, He protects His kids. It's what He does. Mark it, Lord. You already know, L-O-R-D, Yahweh. The proper name of God. If you look it up, it will say the proper name of God, the God of Israel. That's what it means. Remember, you don't worship, listen, you don't worship God. We say that in a lazy way. And this, and in the 21st century, we better qualify it. We worship the Lord. Amen. Who's your God? The Lord. Make sure we don't, let's not get lazy on that. Oh, do you believe in God? I believe in God. Oh, good, because I was going to witness to you and share. But now that you believe in God, I'll see you. How many times have we talked to people and patted them on the back? Once they found out, they tell us, oh, yeah, I believe in God. And we think we're off the hook now because we don't have to witness to them. Whew. Boy, that was a close one. I dodged that bullet. Think about it. So, you know, I know you're dying in the next 10 minutes. And I'm here at the hospital with you. You know, do you believe in God? You know, 99, I've been there, I do that. 99% of the people say, of course I do. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. Ask them, who is He?
It's everything. God is the trees. He's the mountains.
Oh boy, boy, are you going to hell? This is not going well. This is not gonna work. But we hear the word God and we think we're, no, it's, listen, tell me who the Lord is. You got to know who the Lord is. Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus Christ is Lord. You say that in the Roman Empire, got you killed. By the way, apparently you say that in this new Nero, some California, and that'd get you killed. Think of it. Jesus is Lord. Amen. No man is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Psalm 68:4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. That's awesome. By His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever. For Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Isaiah 38:11. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. Isaiah 38:11. Proverbs, you know this one. Exactly. Proverbs 30, verse 4, though it doesn't mention Yah, listen, because the name of Jesus is salvation. Yeshua. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? And who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know. That is absolutely awesome. Yes. And then we end with this. Remember going back to that verse? Can you guys put that verse back up again? Yeah, what was it? I just said memorize it. Psalm 9, verse 10. See the word seek? The word seek means to resort. It means to lean or press or to fall into. I like that. To make inquiry, to investigate, to search, to spend all effort, to find out. And we have to end with this. Theology and me? What does it look like? Ask yourself this question. Are you giving every energy and moment you can to lean into, to fall into the person of God and to find out who He is and to know Him more and more? If you could just pick it off the shelf at a store, would it be that you'd go to the section that has the God stuff and there's the counter or there's the shelf and you'd say, I want that right there and it's all of God? Would you pick that? Would you do that? Would you do that? Listen, this divides sheep from the goats. This divides everything. Theology and me, you can get a degree, you can get a doctorate of divinity, you can get a job, you know, teaching at a university. It doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. I told you before, I'm reading a book on the life of George Whitefield. The guy was preaching to thousands of people, graduated with degrees, preaching to thousands of people, and he discovered later on in life that he wasn't even born again yet. He's leading people to Christ, and he discovers, I've never even come to Christ. George Whitefield gave his life to Christ and changed the world. Well, I've been to church all my life. What does that mean? Hi, God, I know you just died a moment ago, but let me see what I'm supposed to say. Been to church all my life? Tithed? My mom was a Christian? Do you hear me? This is serious business. This is serious stuff. Does your heart beat like David's? To thirst and pant, to long for knowing God. If in your life, and let's be honest, if in your life you don't know that, then you need to talk to him about that. Look, people have always asked me, you have so much enthusiasm about God and you have so much passion about God. It's true. I don't tell them why. I mean, I tell them why. I don't tell them why. I tell them it's because I've been forgiven a whole lot. That's why. I don't tell them the details of the why. Number one, they don't need to know. Number two, I don't want them to know it. Number three, they wouldn't do anything good with it. Right? And number four, God said, I forgot it. That's what he said. I forgot. Wouldn't you like to be knowing God every day, who, when you feel condemned, as Paul says in Romans, if you, like, I don't know if God loves me. Oh, that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. You feel condemned. Listen, the scripture tells you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. And what is it that he knows about you? What is it? Exactly. And he loves you anyway. Think of it. He wants you with him. And he also knows this about you, that your heart beats for him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Theology and Me, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. You know, Theology and Me, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, there comes a time when we've all got to ask ourselves, do I really know God? And do I not only know him, do I have a personal relationship with him? If the answer to these questions isn't a resounding yes, well, God sees that hesitation and wants you to be sure of his love and give you the eternal security that you've been longing for. So, if you're struggling with doubt, we have a resource at our website, jackhibbs.com, and it's called Know God. That's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you click on that tab, you can be sure that your questions about salvation will be answered and that you'll know without a doubt how much the Lord really loves you and really wants to bless your life. Again, the resource is called Know God. You'll find that right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.